This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Thanks for being with us today. If you happen to be watching college football or Wheel of Fortune in a swing district in the final months of the 2016 presidential election, you might have seen one of these commercials from the National Rifle Association.
She keeps a firearm in this safe for protection, but Hillary Clinton could take away her right to self-defense. And with Supreme Court justices, Hillary can. Don't let Hillary leave you protected with nothing but a phone.
Followed by this ad from the Donald Trump campaign.
A vote for Hillary is a vote for more of the same. A vote for Donald Trump is a vote for change that makes America great again.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
A slew of negative Clinton ads may have seemed normal in the lead up to November, but an investigation by The Trace and Mother Jones found that the NRA didn't follow the Federal Election Commission rules on keeping their election strategy and their $30 million of spending separate from the Trump campaign. And that goes against the FEC's rules about what they call coordinated communications. Mike Spies is a staff writer at The Trace, and he joins me now to share his investigation. Mike, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
So this coordinated communications is kind of a really difficult term for what? What did they do wrong?
On its face, the way it works is if you're an independent group, you're allowed to spend as much money as you want advocating for a particular candidate. That's what independent expenditures are. But once those expenditures are coordinated with the campaign you're supporting, or I mean, another way of saying it is once you start sharing information or strategizing about ad placement or messaging, that kind of thing, those expenditures are no longer considered independent and instead are viewed as in-kind contributions, which are subject to very strict limits, like, for instance, $5,000. You can't go over that.
So is it illegal for the NRA to have spent $30 million to back Trump in these ads? I mean, what raised the red flags here?
So it might have been illegal. What we don't know yet. So there are certain things we don't know. What we do know is that based on the investigation, the NRA and the Trump campaign were using the same operation. And as we dug very deeply into FCC records, we also saw that within that operation, four of the same people were being used for placements on both sides, meaning that these public files that live within the FCC database contain things called NAB forms. And those are the forms that authorize ad placements. And there are many instances in which one person was authorizing the placements and signing them as an agent for either entity, for both the Trump campaign and the NRA.
So let's talk about this group called National Media. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds on how the advertising, quote-unquote, ecosystem works, because we'll be here for 3 days. But National Media, who are they and what did they do? What's their link with the NRA and the Trump campaign?
So National Media is a very prominent ad placement firm in D.C., but what they also have is what's called a DBA, or a Doing Business As title, and that's called Red Eagle Media Group, and it's just another name for National Media. And in 2016, the NRA placed most of its ads through Red Eagle, and then at the same time, National Media has another affiliated entity called American Media and Advocacy Group, and that's what the Trump campaign was using. So what you had, again, was the sort of same operation working for both sides. And then within National Media, there were four folks, one the CFO, two senior media buyers, and then another lower-level employee, but someone who still had an important role at the firm, who were either acting as representatives for both the Trump campaign and the NRA, or were, as I said earlier, actually authorizing the placements and signing paperwork for both.
And do we know, we talked a little bit about this in the introduction, but these ads were targeted. When we talk about placing ads, generally what advertisers do is they'll say, okay, we want to target this group of people in this area. And so they'll show ads on that specific network or that specific website. Was there a specific demographic that these ads were targeted at?
I mean, certainly at different times they were aiming to hit different demographics. The sports syndicator that you were just talking about, or that sort of let us in, is a really great example of what a coordinated communication could look like. So that was done through a syndicator called Raycom, which basically airs college football games on some 120 stations across the country. So in late September, both the NRA and the Trump campaign, through these national media entities, purchased ad space for between 6 and 7 football games. 5 of them were the exact same games, and whenever they were the exact same games, If the NRA bought two ads, then the Trump campaign bought one ad. And if the Trump campaign bought two ads, then the NRA bought one ad. And then in the instances where the NRA was in games that the Trump campaign was not, the ratio still persisted in that the NRA was in two games, whereas the Trump campaign was in one. So the idea here is it's a force multiplier. It allows you to maximize your resources. You can spend way more efficiently. You can spend less if you know you're going to be in the same place. You can put more, as Rick Wilson, a strategist, told me, you can put more fire on the target if there's a particular demographic that you really want to reach. And you can take advantage, if you're the campaign, of what's called the lowest unit rate. You don't have to spend as much as independent groups do. That's just the—
Because you're buying in bulk.
Right. You're buying in bulk, and also you just, I guess, you get certain privileges for being a candidate.
We're seeing a lot of high-profile campaign finance violations that could pose a serious threat to the Trump presidency. Does your reporting give us a broader view of what kind of campaign the Trump organization was running?
With respect to the NRA, no outside group spent more money in support of the Trump campaign. And the big thing in 2016 was that most independent conservative groups stayed out. So the question was, why did the NRA get in when everybody else was saying, we're not going to do this? And why did, and not that they just got in, but they got in a much bigger way than they'd ever gotten in before. This was the most money they've ever spent by orders of magnitude on a presidential race.
And just to be clear, have they responded to any of this? Have they, has the NRA responded to any of your requests for comment on this?
Or no.
They have nothing to say about it?
The NRA, the White House, anyone that was connected to this story did not respond to multiple requests for comment.
Where do we go from here, Mike?
Well, I think where we go from here is a complaint has been lodged with the FEC. In order to, if in fact there was coordination, the only way to prove it for once and for all, I think, is to actually get emails and that sort of thing. So if the FEC decides to take up an investigation based on the complaint, that means that they can get internal records. They can ask for them. The House, which is now going to fall to Democratic control come the winter, could do the same thing. They have subpoena power. The DOJ also has the ability to open its own investigation to truly get to the bottom of it.
Mike Spies is a staff writer at The Trace. Mike, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.